Hello and welcome to the EV... Hang on, we're not starting with you muttering in the background.
Just trying to put it in the eyes. That's got to stay in.
Right, the naughty children need to be quiet because hello and welcome to the EV Cafe Takeaway, a podcast focused on that zero emission future that we all hope for. See what I did there. Absolutely. Because, yes, folks, yet again, this is another episode of chaos from the team. And we've got Johnny Berry again. I mean, you know, this is just getting a habit now. I mean, our esteemed leader and founder joining the podcast.
Don't get used to it.
I know. Don't get used to it. Ah, but we will. And that's because we'll have you again in the very near future. But anyway, for those of you that want to really hear about the real Johnny Berry. But in the meantime, folks, we've had a lovely time over Christmas. And now it's time to look ahead, to get out our crystal balls, wave our magic wands, and get lots of wonderful future wishes for this coming 2025. Live in 25, John. Tell us about Live in 25. What are we going to be doing, my old mate?
Well, do you know what? We are just going to double down on community for 2025. And we're going live in 25. So whether it's podcasts, the news broadcasts, live events, do you know, even the webinars, everything that we do is live, and we are going to be really pushing that so that we get the maximum amount of engagement from the people that really matter, you at home, so that you can talk to us, you can tell us how you're feeling, you can tell us what's going on in your world, and we can then start to build on that and include you far more so that this is all about you.
All about you. Talking about all about you, it's all about you, Sarah Sloman. Did you have a good Christmas? Awkward question.
I'm not sure if I was on the naughty or the nice list.
We know.
Yeah, we know.
Just depends. No, don't go there, Paul. Just, right, moving on. before we go into detail, quick snap, what are you looking forward to in 2025 in its briefest form?
I feel like 2025 is going to be pivotal because we've all spent quite a lot of time. I think the first charger that went into Bristol and the project I was working on was 2010. So 2025, a lot of those original contracts that we wrote will now be expiring, and we'll be looking forward to the new way of working, the new way of doing things. And all of that foundation leads up to 2025. It's been a big year for a long time. 2025 has been heralded as a big year for all that time. So I want to see what comes to fruition for real, as opposed to what we thought would. And for me personally, I think I'm going to be striving for that global footprint I was talking about last year. Now, when this goes out, I'm going to make a point of listening to our previous looking forward for 2024 and just see how many of the things we managed to do, and then lay it down in stone now as to what we're going to do in the next 12 months.
Exciting. Well, and to your point about Bristol, Lloyd was scouring the London EV show for hardware, interestingly. So to your point, he's out there, he's getting ready for 2025, and he's going to go and be doing exactly what you've just said. So look at that, predictions. He's got a crystal balls out. There we go. Johnny Berry.
I want to see us hit that milestone of 100,000 charge point sockets across the UK. But not just any charge points. We need
M&S charge points.
That...
Oh no! Sorry, wrong program.
Yeah. There's something in that, Paul, I think. But you know, charging infrastructure that actually works for people and fleets, and that obviously means meeting the regulations to help ensure reliability, ease of use, payment options, that kind of thing. Because it's all good saying 100,000, but it's not just quantity, is it? It's about quality, it's about accessibility, it's about safety, it's about smart integrate. It's all about all those lovely things as well. So let's aim drive that network where we've got all of those things, and supports fleets as well without unnecessary headaches. Because doing it right is important, right? That's what really drives us forward.
Absolutely. What about you, Sam?
Well, I think it's a bit of a segue into Johnny's comments. You know, working for GridServe, I have a little bit of insight and knowledge in terms of what we're up to next year, and it's very much more of the same in regards to keep building. And I know the other chargement operators are doing the same. So hopefully we can, as an industry, we can do what Johnny wanted, you know, and keep delivering more infrastructure. And not just that, but also higher power as well, right? So that we're able to hopefully bring prices down, get power up, and keep supporting the uptake. So that I'm looking forward to in next year, because I'm live and breathe that on a daily basis. I'm looking forward to seeing all these EHGVs on the road. I'm looking forward to seeing the percentage of registrations of EVs continually go up, because they will. And we'll look back, as Sarah often does, as she just mentioned, about looking back at some of the old news stories and go, wow, what a load of nonsense that was. You know, I've got a funny feeling that that's going to be something we're going to be able to look back on and go, you know, do you remember the days when it was only 10% registrations? You know, that kind of thing. So that's definitely something else I'm looking forward to. But I do fear that there will be some pain as well. You know, there's an awful lot of consolidation that the industry needs to do. Yeah. There's too many suppliers in too many places. Not everyone will survive. You know, it's a growth industry, but that means there's an awful lot of players in it, and there will be more pain. There just will be. But that's just the nature of an emerging industry. I hope everyone does well. But at the same time, you know, we're just going to have to be cognizant of the challenges as well as the positivities.
Well, there we go, everybody. What a happy note to end on. No, but it is going to be tough, and I get that. I'm really excited. We've got a lot of big decisions to make in 2025. I think the EV Cafe playing a part in the van plan, so the zero emission van plan. We are collaborators with Logistics UK and BVRLA and AFP and REA. It is really, I think, it was really kind of cool to be called out as a part of that. But I really think that that's going to kick in this year. We've got the ear of government. We had, with the zero emission van plan, we had Sarah Edwards last year sort of chairing a conversation that Lillian Green would listen to. Hopefully we'll get the ear of other members of the government in the transport team. You know, OZEV are very aware and cognizant of what the challenges are for the van sector. So I'm actually really quite optimistic that we will get some of the legislation sorted and we will build on. We've seen a couple of months in, the latter part of this year, the numbers for December will be coming out very soon, but hopefully they'll be above 8% for vans again. And that really kind of moves towards the ZEV mandate. And, you know, it moves again to 16 and 20, whatever it is in cars, 26, is it, percent for the ZEV mandate in cars. And I think, you know, that ZEV mandate, as long as it stays in place to some greater or lesser extent, we'll see great movements forward. But I'm really hopeful that we'll see demand side incentives still, because I don't think the incentives are over yet. I think we need to bring them into a landing, but I still think around some of the charging aspects, we could really do with the sort of microgrids that we saw AW Energy bring. I was really excited about that last year, and I really think that kind of microgrid of a renewable energy, a battery energy storage system, and then charge points, providing energy where the fleets need it. So the big fleets are really trying to scale, and they can't because the energy is in the wrong place. And I think 2025 is going to be a year where we get the energy into the right place at a price that is reasonable and people can afford. And we will see great strides forward. So that's my view in a snapshot. But We started out with John live in 25 for the EV Cafe. What are the things, as my bells ring from somewhere behind me? What are we looking forward to from an EV Cafe perspective? You know, what are the things that we think might be highlights for us?
Well, if you're asking me, I think we've got three key events that we will be going to. So the commercial vehicle show. which is absolutely critical. And as Paul's pointed out, you know, commercial vehicles and Sam regularly talks about EHGV. These two elements are crucial for us as a country. If we're going to have significant growth in our GDP and our economy, we have to get better at using the logistics that we have and the vehicles that we have, the technology we have, and create jobs that are sustainable and worthwhile. So that's a key sector for us. So the CV show, Carfest, which is going to be phenomenal, 100,000 people plus. But the key for me here is that we're not talking to the same people that we always talk to at other EV events. These are new people, curious people who want to come and say, electric vehicles will never work, or I'd like to try one, but I'm a bit scared and I don't know, and how do you do, and what about charging, and all this stuff, that we can help them to get their bum into a seat and try an electric vehicle. And that absolutely fills me full of joy. And then Fleet Mobility Live at the end of the year, which again is a really fabulous trade show, but it's the quality of the people that we speak to. And the key to that show, I think, is collaboration. It's where we can start joining dots and we can say, Company A, Company Z, these two should be speaking together to work closely together to solve a particular pain point. And that's a lot of what we do that people don't see, is we grab hold of Johnny and we grab hold of somebody else and we say, you two need to go have a chat. And they do, and make a better proposition as a result of that conversation. So those three events are going to be huge. The other thing for me, which really excites me, is I want to move away from just providing a weekly summary of the news to bring more of that kind of quick response to breaking news that comes out. So as we go through the year, there'll be content which we just create on the fly. You know, hear a story coming out, instant reaction, and get it out to everybody so that you're kept aware of what's going on in that very fast-moving industry. So that's a couple of highlights for me.
I love that, John. I love that bit.
Johnny's nodding. Go on, Johnny.
No, I just think, you know, I'm an advocate for doing more video content, reaction content, stuff like that. And, you know, if there's a big bit of news, people want to hear kind of our reactions as well. You know, they're just reading from an article, but actually, what does it mean? So what? You know, and yeah, and if it's about vans, it will go to Van Man, Paul. If it's about Sam, it will go to Sam.
Yeah.
Which obviously
it'll always be about Sam.
There'll always be news about Sam. They're just proud of me, isn't there? But also what you said about Carfest and these events, I think it's so important, because I think it's bringing the whole ecosystem together in one place. And I think that can't be underestimated for people coming to learn. You know, cars are fine, but and many people think it is a vehicle only issue, but there's so much to learn. Cars are easy. I think cars and vans are easy, to be honest. I think it's that other everything else in the ecosystem that is bloody difficult. And so, you know, we've had some really strong exhibitors in every single event that were able to cover off SaaS, cover off hardware, cover off solutions, and it's great to bring that all together. So I just want to elaborate on that. Sorry, John.
I think that's so true. The ecosystem that we try and celebrate in the EV Cafe Village, and of course it can only be as good as the participants, because, you know, we're there to be a platform. I think, you know, one of the most exciting things for me, looking ahead, was, you know, we've got this new partner, EV Blocks, that we lifted up way back when in lockdown, for goodness sake, and then they got their big break through that. I mean, wouldn't it be great if we can do more of that, but also more of this collaborative, bringing people together and helping us celebrate the ecosystem and see that really come to life. Saz,
what about you, Saz?
What
do you think?
I was going to ask Saz a particular question, actually, because I know Saz has reflected in our Christmas edition about podcasts. And podcasts, Saz, I know that you love these. And have you got any sort of dreams, aspirations, goals, people that you'd love to see coming onto the podcast this year? And, you know, how can we make that better and, you know, do all that celebrating of people personally?
Yes, for those who've only just really discovered the podcasts, they're called the EV Cafe Takeaway. I listen to mine through Apple. It automatically lets me know when the new one's up. It's usually up on a Wednesday. But what I've noticed from all the other podcasts that I consume, they vary from anything up to 2 hours, like Diary of a CEO, through to Redefining Energy, which can be 14, 16, 18 minutes. So maybe taking John's lead here with making elements of the news more snappy, perhaps we should dive on and do little 10-minute podcasts that make people feel like they've had a topic aired. In terms of people, though, it's the other way around. People come to us. They want to be part of this community and able to sort of share their experience. And what I find so special about ours, considering I do listen to it, I absolutely love Evie Musings. I love Liz Allen's podcast, The Full Circle One. I find ours particularly special because our guests feel they can fully share their experiences. They can fully explore their ambitions. What they don't do is sell. We sell nothing on our podcasts. We look really deeply into the eyes of the people who are inspiring us. We invite the people on the show who we genuinely believe are going to push the industry forward. So if you are listening to this and you want to be on the show, it would be my absolute pleasure to welcome you, as long as you're funner.
I'd like to be on the show, Sarah.
Would you be our 100th guest, please, Johnny, seeing as you've managed to avoid it so far?
His fear about podcasts ever since me and John were left stranded for 2 hours 5 years ago. I think it's traumatised me.
Thanks a bunch. I really enjoyed working with you as well.
John, technically, that was the first podcast for us, wasn't it? Let's be honest.
I think that's fair comment, mate. The thing I'm looking forward to is getting Sam to say funner, and I don't know how we're going to do this.
AI.
We've singularly failed.
That doesn't count. Doesn't count.
Oh, yeah, but nobody will know.
Do you know, I actually have a question. Whilst we adore what we do and we know we are valued in the marketplace and proud to continue to strive in 2025, oh god, that rhymes, I'm a poet, and don't I just expect that, I would like us to think about what else we're looking forward to. I love the EV rallies that happen every year, and John, you and I are blessed again to be co-hosting some of those. I like to look to the rest of the industry and see who's sort of shoulder to shoulder with us out there. What's going to be your highlight other than us?
Well, that was a short answer. Nobody.
There's nobody.
EV Rally is just superb. Again, it's that sense of community, isn't it? It's that thing about, you know, we know we can do it, but you go and show that you can do it. And I think next year, the EV Rally will take on a slightly different feeling as we do 2 days, and then we stop at Cenex in the Midlands, and then do another 2 days. Because long days have been done. 300 plus miles a day, done. We've been there. We've shown it can be done. It's not news. I think what is we've got Trump Road Tuesday, for instance, where there will be no motorways used at all. So you will only be able to... Exactly, Sam, exactly. We'll be able to show what real drivers get to do when they're living in suburban and rural locations to get from point A to point B, and how hard that can be still. Those sorts of things, putting a different spin on it. The brilliant work you did, Sam, on your motorbike, you know, to be able to do that. I'm fascinated to understand what you'll do next year, which is harder than that.
Cargo bike.
Been there, done that. Got so many t-shirts, not doing it again. I don't know yet. I've got a few irons in the fire on that one, John. But just while I've got the mic, I think the part of the questions you said earlier, and it partly answers Sarah's question as well about looking forward to the EV Cafe in 2025. I think the other thing, which an expression I use a lot, is many hands do light work. And I think what would be nice is not just our sponsors, to which if you added up all of their customers, you're talking tens of millions of people. How do we get our sponsors to help us share this message and break those church walls we've so often talked about? But also those that are listening, what can everybody do? How can the people listening? It doesn't matter whether you're just doing one little thing, you know, one small thing about whether it's your recycling or the car you drive or whatever, or it's a big thing like a big corporate, you know, literally changing the world. What can everyone do in one capacity that they can put their hand on their heart and say, I did that? If everyone did a little bit of that, we would make tremendous difference. And hopefully the EV Cafe is a mechanism by which we can continually help people to just make even the smallest differences, because you add them all up and we will change the world, but it's just, it's every little step at a time to do it. So hopefully, you know, we've built this wonderful community, and we need to, you know, we've got a responsibility now to use it for change, big or small. And so that's what I'd like to see us do in 25 is get our message, everyone's collective message out there and try and make a difference. There you go. Done.
He has got some emotions in there. There was almost emotion. It was a moment of joy.
Nearly.
Get more emotion out of AI, to be honest.
Thanks for your support.
Thanks for your support.
Probably.
We've got to tell that story. We've got to tell that story.
Can we just not?
go on ahead and tell the story.
So was it Fleet Mobility Live? We were doing a video.
ITT Hub.
ITT Hub. The ITT Hub. And we were lucky enough to have Rick Bellemia and the team there filming a video. And we had a new sponsor. And we asked Sam to welcome them as a new, I think it was a gold sponsor. So we're talking about a serious commitment to us. And Sam, if you could deliver the immortal line as you did on the day, it would be quite remarkable.
I said, thanks for your support.
Oh no, you didn't.
Lose all, lose all animation and you're pretty much there.
We just fell about. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It was, thanks for your support.
Yeah. But he delivered it. Can I just say this, right? He delivered it. We all heard it. No one said a thing. And I just said, thanks for your support. Then we all like acknowledged that's how we delivered it. Am I right?
We got to dig this bit of film out, I think.
Yeah, we have to. But once we're on the topic of this conversation, right? I think, Sam, it's probably best that you tell us what Paul said on the AA stand that same day.
He tried to say the word probably, but unfortunately there was a W in there that wasn't supposed to be.
It's not spelled with a W.
No, but that's the way it was pronounced, and we've enjoyed that for many a year.
Yeah. Indeed. I can't tell anybody what it represents in the EV Cafe, because that would be very dangerous.
It's meaningful. Meaningful.
Probably it is difficult, you know. There we go.
And that's part of the joy, isn't it, of what we do, is that you never quite know where those little highlights are going to come from. And we've learned that, yes, there are tough days, and we know that we'll have some next year. But there will be those little moments of gold that we all experience together, and we're very lucky to have that, that you can hang your hat on and say, do you know what, there are some tough miles that we have to walk, but every so often we can just celebrate a moment of comedy genius, just something that happens, you just go, yes, that's why we work.
Trouble is that we can't publish most of them because we'll be cancelled.
Yeah, absolutely. As long as we can get through 2025 without being cancelled, I'll be a happy man. We've come close, I think, this year.
I was cancelled twice on Christmas Day.
What was it, Stuart Murphy's... Stuart Murphy's fun facts that nearly got us cancelled.
Oh wow, Stuart Murphy's fun fact. We were just sat there with bated breath going, what is he talking about? He started off saying that he had a very long body part and we just fell about after that, but for the record, he's very, very proud of it, so please do dig out the content and find out for yourself. It's not what you think.
He talks about his grandma as well.
In the same sense, it makes sense.
She also had a very long organ, didn't she? Yes.
We're going to have to tell them now. It's tongue. Yeah. It's too confusing otherwise.
Yeah.
It's another tumbleweed moment that we'll all wish never happened.
So who has the longest tongue out of us? That's the question.
Oh, definitely not me.
I've got a slit in my tongue.
I don't want to play.
I don't know if you can see on camera.
Tongue. I don't want to see. Oh, I actually can. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. So Johnny has a split. It's a bit like...
It was a shard of a hubcap that flew off.
His curb came out of nowhere.
We're going to start calling Johnny Kirby.
We should swap names.
Kirby.
Look at me, I'm driving an EV.
It always amuses me, Paul, that you refer to Johnny as Johnny Berry. Whenever you introduce him. So let's go over to Johnny Berry. And he's not Johnny, it's just Johnny Berry.
Wait, he is Johnny Berry. Because he's Johnny Berry.
You're not Paul Kirby, though. You're Paul.
Or Curbs, to people that like me.
Yeah, Curbs. I didn't know you were called Curbs.
Curbs, yeah.
Maybe I'm not a friend. There we go. Anyway, move on.
Well, do you know what? Curbs was when I was growing up. My very first nickname was Muffin.
Chips?
No, Muffin. The mule.
I thought
that was illegal.
No, it came from Ragamuffin, actually, because I was in a children's home. All the other kids said, "Well, you're Ragamuffin," you know. It was done friendly. It was actually the nice bit. Aww. There's plenty of not so nice bits, but the Ragamuffin thing was kind of fun. So my phone's just
Siri.
Alexa just kicked off. It's random. Anyway.
Can't deny that we have continued to keep the fun amongst the five of us. Yeah. We do have core values. We do as a business try to adhere to our core values, and 2025 will be no different. We always try to lift up one another, as in all of our sponsors and our partners. We also always try to bring the information away from the sales room floor, so making things impartial and easy to understand. And we do always try to bring the secret sauce to make it, well, funner.
Funny.
And that will be just grown. That's our deep rooted core value, and I really want to see that continue in 2025 as we focus on those big three events. Yes, we deliver our webinars, of course, and we deliver our weekly podcast and newscast as well.
We would be really interested to hear, I think, the sorts of subjects and topics that you'd like us to cover in our webinars going forward. So maybe just drop us a line, hello@evcafe.org, and tell us what it is you'd like to hear, like to see, because, you know, the world is our lobster. We can do whatever you need. Tell us.
I think the podcast would be really cool for people to nominate people that they would love to hear from. Now, we're not going to be able to cover everybody, but, you know, dream up the most. I mean, you know, I'm sure Elon Musk will get thrown in there, but dream up the people that we should be reaching out to and finding ways. And we can then go, look, it's not just us that want you to come on. The people have spoken. So wouldn't it be great if, and that wouldn't it be great if. Mine is if people reached out to us and said we'd like to hear, not ourselves on a podcast, because it's easy to say, oh, please pick me, I want to be on a podcast.
I can see Sam writing his email now, hello@evcafe.org, please may I appear again.
I've got Guinness World Record.
I've got more to say about me from Paul Kirby. Unbelievable.
Anyway, moving on. Clearly, we don't want to hear from those of you that want to be on the podcast. We want to hear from those of you that would like to hear somebody on the podcast. So tell us about that.
But who would you want? Who would you want, Paul? So give us a name.
Who would I want?
Set the bar. How high are you talking?
See, I mean, a lot of the people that I've already got in my mind, I've got a number of people that I want to, and we will get them because we know them. But gosh, who?
But we did used to make a list. We did actually have a sort of.
Yeah. So, well, okay. Yeah, there we go. Your man, the fella from BrewDog, James Watt. That's who I'd like to get on the podcast, James Watt.
And why?
Because I believe, from what I understand, he does have a passion to be more sustainable. I think his journey has been one of incredible challenge, and he's reached incredible peaks, then been cancelled.
He was very interesting on the Stephen Bartlett podcast, but he's ex-CEO now, isn't he? He's not.
Yeah, well, he's still sea captain, isn't he, or whatever he calls himself. Yeah. But see, Sam, unless you knew his story, he was a fisherman. So that's why he's sea captain, because he was sea captain of his boat that went out fishing in the North Atlantic, or North, the Scottish, English, it won't be the English Channel. What's the sea up in Scotland? What's that bit?
The North Sea.
The North Sea?
The North Sea, that's it. That's
the South Sea, Paul. It's the South Sea, isn't it?
Well, I got the North bit right. I just couldn't remember the rest of it. I'd like to get James Watt, and we have got a couple of irons in the fire to try and get to him. So that would be an achievement if we could get to him from me. So that's my podcast dream. But wouldn't it be great if, answer that question, each of you? Wouldn't it be great if Johnny Berry?
Yeah, just to fill that in, Johnny, and for those who are listening, at the end of every podcast, we say, if you had a magic wand, what would you do? And this feels like the same sort of question, right? Am I right? So wouldn't it be great if, and it can be world peace, or it could be anything you want to do with the industry.
Oh, I have a gift. He's got his wand out.
For those of, so Saz and Johnny, sorry, Saz and JC, you get one of these because you've done lots of podcasts. These are magic wands. I've got three.
Golly.
There you go. That is Hogwarts magic wand.
For those that are not watching this podcast, Paul's waving his wand around on camera, so
it's got a lightning bolt on it. I'm very impressed.
It has got a sound of
vomiting was predictable.
But it's quite detailed. You can see that you can see all of that, and then there's a little lightning bolt.
And yeah, you've never heard this before, Paul, but that's bigger than I thought it would be.
It's Benoit Laflamme got us these. And so we've got...
Oh, thank you, Benoit. Lovely. Johnny, did you have an answer? Because I do actually have an answer on my own, but if you have yours, you go.
Wouldn't it be great if some... I would probably say big corporates stop being laggards and start innovating, stop leaving it up to startups. That's probably what I'd say.
Ooh, I like that. Like that.
Yeah.
And then, Johnny, we'll come back to you on a podcast guest. Go for it, you guys.
I'll go Donald Trump. There you go.
Donald Trump.
Wow, could you imagine?
Liquid gold.
Yeah, it's quite hard to get hold of him from prison. Come on then, Sass.
Okay, so I genuinely would love it if I didn't spend so much time with people ringing because they heard something. They heard a fact, or I say fact with inverted commas. Like they've heard something that they now need to have verified and qualified. And it invariably stems back to something that someone said on Facebook, or worse, Twitter or X, whatever it's called these days. And I call Facebook Face Ache now for the same reason, because let me guess, you saw that on a forum on Facebook, right? So those of us who are from the scientific community would never take a fact as fact as fact as fact. You have to get one or two or three or even four different ways to triangulate that fact until it sort of makes sense, because a fact is just somebody else's opinion or evidence that they've curated. So it encourages you to think carefully, to think critically. Think critically before you accept a fact. And we know some of our sponsors even have to deal with this on a daily basis. They have teams of people to deal with this on a daily basis. And I truly believe that if individuals, be that a big business owner or a startup owner, or even just people you meet in the street, learned to think more critically than take the first thing that someone said as gospel, I think we'd be in a lot better position in our industry today.
Nice.
There you go. Go on then, Sam, you go.
My turn, is it? It's quite tough to follow, isn't it? I was thinking of what Sass was saying and also what Johnny was saying. I think if I had my magic wand moment, I think it would probably be to somehow prevent greenwash, almost make it some sort of, I don't know, almost like a law that you're not allowed to do it. You know, some sort of Trade Descriptions Act logic.
Oh, like when it says this is AI. Yeah.
Isn't it already a law? You're not allowed to greenwash. It is breaking the law.
Greenwash, I guess.
That's the trouble. Yeah. I mean, it's an oil company, an energy company. You know, is that greenwash? You know, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to value it, I suppose. But yeah, I think that's what I would love to be able to do. And also perhaps the other thing is that for me, that the whole world in some respects is corrupt, right? In different parts of the world, it's very obvious. I think we just do it here, just very subtly, almost legally, you know, behind the church world, mm-hmm. behind the walls of government, we've got oil lobbyists whispering in people's ears, making decisions about how the industry runs on the basis of how much oil they can sell. You know, and we all know it's happening, but it's quite hard to do anything about it because it's behind, it's off away from us mere mortals. I'd loved forced greater transparency, which I think ties in with the greenwashing that, you know, let's be really transparent about what's going on, about who's running the country and who's influencing the decisions that are affecting our environment.
Really good shout.
That would be my answer off the top of my head.
JC, wouldn't it be great if...
I'm struggling. I'm really struggling with this. I think I've got a real difficulty with this question because... transport in the hierarchy of need is not a priority. It is a very important part of living a meaningful life. But the reality is we are a country which is on its knees to a large extent. We have children who don't get 3 square meals a day. We've got single parents who can barely afford to provide for their children and put a roof over their heads. We have real needs. We have elderly people who aren't getting the care that they need. And I struggle because I'm desperate to provide better transport systems. But somebody else has to lose out. And so it's really hard because I live in the real world and, you know, magic wands seemingly don't have consequences, but they do. You know, if we wish for great transport systems, somebody else loses out. And in the priorities at the moment, we've got businesses that are going down the tubes. We've got wars raging in parts of the world that are bombing the hell out of each other that are so, so terribly sad. And I do find it hard sometimes to think, oh yeah, EVs are the most important thing that there is to do. They matter, and they matter a great deal to us and to our partners and to many people who drive them. But the sense of proportion when you kick in some of those other huge draws on finances and political attention, our challenges almost pale into insignificance.
We all play our own small part, don't we? And then that creates the swell, that creates the volume. Having better transport system improves clean air. Better transport connects people with low salaries to areas of the city where there's a potential to earn more. It feeds the taxation system. It grows an economy. Transport underpins absolutely every single person in the world's life. And actually, to take the war example, transport systems are one of the first to go down, and that can be devastating in itself. And I know that we should do more for... you know, that list that you so eloquently presented there is really heartfelt, and well done you for going there. And I know we should do that. We should. However, we're very good at this. Let's just stick to doing this well. Let's keep that emotion that you so beautifully bring and apply it so deeply to change. And we can only be winning.
It's a sense of injustice. You know, it's that, sorry, Paul, it's that thing where, you know, I've been there where... I've eaten tins of baked beans because I didn't know if I would be able to pay my maintenance and be able to do all the things that the responsibilities I had as a dad. And my kids weren't necessarily going to get the best Christmas. And I'm a white middle class man. I'm very, very fortunate. And I know that this country is full of people who, you know, look at EVs as though they are the most... you might as well talk about Pegasus, you know, the flying horse, because to them, what we do is of no relevance whatsoever. They're struggling to put food on the table for their kids, to warm their house or their place they live, their room, whatever it might be. And it just makes me sick that we've got politicians who are clearly... not managing our finances well, whether that's historically or now, and we have lost billions and billions and billions of pounds to corruption, the sort of stuff that Sam referred to earlier. And so it's hard for me to wish for something which, you know, we'd all applaud and say, yay for EVs, when the reality is our world's very broken.
So let me just come to that, because I think what we have done kind of uniquely, I think, to some degree, is create community. Community that does care beyond just transport, just the vehicle, just the individual. But we care about the individuals. And we've created a place where people understand that we care about mental health, that we care about, you know, Sarah articulated in our Christmas edition really well, that we like to give back. We like to do something. And not to, you know, yay us, but to say, look, actually, this is an important thing. Giving is an important thing. If you're blessed to receive, then it's also better, in fact, to give. And I think we've created a space where people can reach into us and ask for help, be that financial, and we've all kind of experienced that, I'm sure, to raise awareness of a particular thing, whatever that might be. Sam, with your friend that was physically challenged riding on an electric bike, I think it was a friend of a friend, you know, that came to the surface. Johnny, I know, has been very passionate about certain things, and we've been able to support. It was a children's charity, I think. And so what we have got is a unique opportunity to combine a passion for something that we're reasonably good at, you know, in terms of articulating the challenges of electric vehicles and charging and all of that sort of stuff, while still remaining human and connecting with the people. And that's why the podcast is so brilliant, is because we get to hear the humanity of Taco, who was a saxophonist and played in a wedding and did this and that, and it was brilliant. And we hear about the challenges of, you know, Kate Tyrrell expressed how brutal her childhood was and shared from an utter place of rawness and difficulty. And now people can hear that and then look at where Kate's come to and done all that sort of stuff. So I think we've got this unique opportunity to press into what we do and what we love to do, which is to celebrate great transport, to bring air quality to kids that die of asthma. So I was talking to somebody the other day that a doctor moved from a city centre where they were giving out, you know, puffers, I can't remember the actual name, the inhaler type thing, like they were going out of fashion to small children, to a rural location where they barely ever saw a kid with asthma. This is the kind of difference that we make, and the difference in terms of quality of life to young children, to families, to all communities. We have the opportunity to contribute to that, and also welcome in people that are going through difficult times, like Charlie Gilbert, giving him a platform to celebrate, you know, him coming through with his family's support. So I think the EV Cafe is a unique and blessed place to celebrate all of the good things. And John, it answers your question. Saz, it answers your question. Sam, it answers your question. Johnny Berry, it answers yours, because you're Johnny Berry, not just Johnny. and mine too, you know, in terms of mental health, children, you know, all of those good things. We're a community of people that are true and real, broadly speaking, most of the time. We try not to be false. Occasionally we are, but then we all are. Because we cover over our difficulties or whatever. But so I think we've got a unique opportunity and we should press into it. What do you think?
Agreed.
Absolutely agreed. Roll on the rest of 2025.
And let's see how we can, you know, further support those that need support. If they need a shoulder, if they need an ear, if they need a hand up, let's see what we can do.
Yeah. We have a lot of open spaces for support of charities this year. So let's hear. Let's hear from people that want to do exciting things. You know, Mark Newbury, Movember, and Steve Williams, Movember. And it, I mean, just, you know, there's too many things to give to, but let's hear about them. Let's celebrate them. Let's do stuff and let's give to a few of them where we can. That'd be kind of cool.
Well said.
And accelerate the transition to zero emission transport while we're at it.
Yeah, because it really matters. It does really matter. And that's that's a contradiction that I have pretty much every day. Because what we do has given me a sense of purpose. You know, from a personal perspective, I have a reason to get out of bed in the morning. It's to do the things that we all believe in. Because I can make a difference. You can make a difference. I've even started to like Vans.
Oh, no.
It's a dope two-pointer.
Vans.
Yeah, not a world record Vans. Holder, though, so don't worry.
Oh, Vans. Gotta love Vans.
Vans. It's like John Prescott saying Jag.
Well, no, so who was it? Was his chops? James
Clarkson.
May. No, it was James May. He used to say Jag, but then they did their final episode. I don't know if you've seen the Top Gear episode or whatever it's called now, Grand Tour. And he said, "I've got the Triumph Stag." It was brilliant. Anyway, well, that's it. We're heading into 2025 with a sense of purpose.
I've got a new high-vis jacket.
I've
bought a new high-vis jacket because I'm coming for you. Seriously, you better look out, world, because I am on a mission. Bright yellow, reflective stripes, come at me.
Like we need John Curtis to be more high-vis.
More visible,
yeah. comment.
Thank you, Sam.
Just make sure you've got your glitzy diamond encrusted lightning bolt pinned
gorgeous.
On.
Yeah. Indeed. Thank you.
I love that. I don't know where we can see that, John. We can't see it online, can we? There must be a place. There's probably a picture of you at the Green Fleet Awards.
We'll send a photograph to you and we can cut this in so that you can see my diamond encrusted lightning bolt from Asprey's in London.
Oh, from Asprey's? I thought it was a Diamante thing from Camden Market, but no, obviously not.
Oh, hang on
not.
A minute. No, sorry. It was Etsy. I remember Etsy.
Fantastic. Any final thoughts from anybody for 2025? Obviously not. Okay.
No, not really. Only onwards and upwards. I know that's a cliche overused line, but that's really how I feel. We should take that stock of last year and build on it. And if we do that by this time in 2026, we know we've done well.
We're going to go live in 25 because it's going to be funner.
What's it going to be, Sam?
More fun than last year.
Probably. And on that note, folks, with Sam's exuberance being contained carefully, we celebrate with you and look forward to a new year. Whatever 2024 was for you, good, bad, or indifferent, 2025, let's look forward to being live in 25 and making the very best of every opportunity. And if we can help on the journey, you know where we are. Reach out, connect with us, listen to the podcasts, phone us, DM us, do all of those kinds of things and catch up with us as we go through the news as it happens in 25 and talk about the very important topics that are going to occur. So, you know where we are, evcafe.org, or on all good media channels on Apple and Spotify and all of those good things, and LinkedIn, of course. Follow us and encourage others to follow us. With all of that in mind, have a great day, everybody, and importantly, have a great year.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Bye-bye!